Please be seated. If you ask me, one of the best roles that Philip Seymour Hoffman ever played was in the movie Almost Famous. Now, if you'll recall, Philip Seymour Hoffman is the Oscar-winning actor who died tragically of drug overdose just 6 weeks ago today. In this film, though, in Almost Famous, Philip Seymour Hoffman plays the role of Lester Bangs, the famous rock music journalist of the 60s and 70s. Lester Bangs in the movie agrees to mentor fresh-faced William Miller, a barely teenage aspiring writer who has a quest to write a piece for Rolling Stone magazine. Now, William Miller is given his chance, and following the Everyman Band, William Miller's quest begins in a warm and hazy 70s glow. But it soon deteriorates, for upon meeting his idols, the members of the band Stillwater, William is greeted with, "Hey, the enemy, a rock writer." Continues the deterioration as William Miller chases down these band members. He falls behind in school, he terrifies his single mother as he falls further out of contact with her, and he begs off longer and longer deadlines for the piece that just isn't coming together at all. At the lowest point for this young writer, he phones Lester Bangs. And what emerges in their telephone call changes the movie from a love letter to rock and roll to a tender testimony about the human condition. They're both up late, they're both alone, and their talk includes accountability as well as heartache. It's the kind of empathy that feels real. At the end of the conversation, William says, "I'm glad you were home." To which Lester replies, "I'm always home, I'm uncool." The conventional wisdom about Nicodemus is that he came to Jesus at night so that no one would see him. Jesus has made a clear alliance with John the Baptist, if you'll recall, and John the Baptist had nothing but bile for the Pharisees. Jesus' own strong words about the Jewish elite likely kept them at a great distance from him. For a Pharisee to go ask Jesus questions alone, to address him as rabbi, and note his godliness, we can safely assume this was a bold move for Nicodemus. Jesus could easily have greeted him, "Hey, the enemy, a Pharisee." Perhaps it's my years of hospital ministry that I read the story differently this year. Having been called to many late-night bedsides, I am acquainted with the questions that gain power and severity in the night watches. I myself am no stranger to the late night worries, and I know many of you must be familiar with the nagging concerns that haunt you in the night. Perhaps for these reasons, this year I saw Nicodemus as a night worrier. I entertained the possibility that Nicodemus had caught wind of a new traveling teacher and his crazy ideas and decided that rather pace the floor, he would go to Jesus himself and ask his questions. Sometimes the night makes us bold, like patients who ring for a chaplain and are finally willing to say out loud something they may have never said. These callers are usually concerned that they're bothering me, the chaplain, if you can believe it. They're having huge epiphanies and they're worried about waking someone up. I could easily picture Nicodemus resolving to stop fretting and just go ask Jesus what he meant by what he was saying and what he was meaning to do. And that's when I thought of Lester Bangs, the famous writer William Miller knew was always home. What if Jesus had a reputation for being someone you knew how to find, who'd be willing to talk to you, who was uncool enough to handle a late night worry session. Traveling with fishermen friends, healing by day, squatting by night, giving long teaching sessions in various public areas, Jesus was making a name for himself in this early part of John's gospel. He had turned water into wine at a wedding, and he had caused quite the disturbance in the temple. So what if Nicodemus was like you and me, unsatisfied with what he's heard so far, worried about any number of things, Jesus' teachings, his own position, something else, and decided to be emboldened to go to this renegade and have a conversation? The back and forth between Nicodemus and Jesus has a real tension to it. Nicodemus calls him rabbi and says he knows Jesus is from God, and Jesus does not even wait for the question to follow all of this flattery. He immediately begins to instruct his visitor on the kingdom of God, birth by water, the Spirit, birth from heaven. Jesus teaches him that birth by the Spirit is as uncomplicated as the wind blowing. It's just the way it is. Nicodemus is utterly bewildered. My favorite line, how can these things be? To which Jesus is unrelenting, holding him accountable to his leadership role as a Pharisee, accusing him of being dense for such a learned person. If I'm keeping score, Jesus has pummeled Nicodemus in the debate. Nicodemus, our poor, emboldened night worrier, seems to receive no such comfort from a friend on the line. This is not William Miller and Lester Bangs. And yet, it is from this very conversation that we get one of Jesus' most memorable lines. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And it is from this late night conversation that we come to the idea of being born again, which, however you feel about the culturally loaded term, names the miracle of our baptism, where we become Christ's own once and for all, and we mark our entry into the household of God. So this conversation is not a throwaway midnight chat. It is not simply a vignette to demonstrate Jesus' prowess with Pharisees. I see Jesus, as he talks with Nicodemus, building up to these beautiful statements, statements that go down in history for a reason. When I look at this scene from the perspective of an agitated Nicodemus and a stimulated Jesus, I see Jesus' teachings as his own formulating of his message. In other words, I see Jesus becoming more Jesus in his relationship with Nicodemus. Something to know about the Gospel of John is that there's a clear progression in Jesus' message from these early chapters to his final words with his disciples before his arrest and death. In fact, when Jesus encounters a particular character in John's Gospel, something from that encounter is usually enfolded into a later teaching that Jesus does more publicly and with more people. Next week is another example. When Jesus meets the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, he offers her living water. But later in John, Jesus teaches more definitively and more publicly about how he is living water and life everlasting. What if the insomniacs, the night-walking worriers, the helplessly uncool, what if these are more than irritants to Jesus? What if they pushed him to teach more and more clearly in reaching his hearers? What if Nicodemus' bold questions were some of the yeast of Jesus' ministry, catalyzing him to say, "For God so loved the world"? I think that "when God so loved the world" means that God loves us enough to make us integral in the kingdom of God, even integral to Jesus' life and ministry. Since we are to truly carry Christ's work in the world, to follow in his footsteps, not just this Lenten season, but always, then we too must look for wisdom in unconventional ways. and uncool places, like Pharisees, poor itinerant prophets, rock writers, children. As Lester Bangs speaks iconically in the movie, the only true currency in this bankrupt world is what you share with someone else when you're uncool. As we chart our own course to the cross again, let us be like Jesus. Let us be sharers and receivers of the night worries. Let us be bold, but also alert to our visitors. Let us be willing to hear out those who we might otherwise overlook in our quest. For as the story of Nicodemus teaches us, we may grow for the better, having stayed up a little longer. Amen.
Amen.